Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And it's time for the Friday gathering. And this week I'm joined in the studio by Green Party Senator and Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Pippa Hackett. We have Social Democrat TD for Dublin Central, Gary Gannon, political correspondent at the Irish Daily Mail, Sarah McGuinness, and Harry McGee, Irish Times political correspondent. And you're all welcome. Thank you for being here this Friday. Harry, I want to come first to your own paper reporting on these comments made by Leo Varadkar in the States. He said, immigration here has happened too quickly. This, of course, echoing the comments from Simon Harris earlier in the week, where he linked immigration with the pressure on housing here and homelessness. Tell us what you make of the comments and what's being said and the reaction and so on.
Yeah, it's there. Like a lot of what has been said by Simon Harris and by Leo Varadkar, there's more than a grain of truth in it. But I think it's just the manner and delivery has grated with some people. I mean, there's no doubt that the huge number of people who have come in both from Ukraine and seeking international protection have put pressure on the homeless situation and have led to an increase. So they're a component of that. But the way that they were presented, some people took it as if it were an absolute, that it was the determining...
This is the reason.
This is the reason and the determining reason. And it's not. It's one of the reasons, mm-hmm. but it's not the whole reason. And in relation to what Mr. Varadkar said, I think that there has been a very rapid increase, and that is true. But the way in which it was presented was that there's a very rapid increase and we haven't been able to handle it, and it's a problem and we have to deal with it, and we should have done something about it, etc. And I just think the kind of the slightly absolutist way in which it was presented will, as I said, kind of grate with some people. But there's no doubt. I mean, if you look at well over 100,000 people coming in from Ukraine, and the numbers of people seeking international protection has grown incrementally over the past 2 years. So we had 14,000 last year. We could have 25,000 this year. We had a huge number of Ukrainians coming in after Russia invaded. And there's no doubt, and we've seen it, with our own eyes, that that has put huge pressure in terms of the government scrambling around to find accommodation. Okay. And it has led to, it has had a lot of political implications, including the right of an incipient far-right movement.
Gary, the comments grated with you.
Yeah, really, very much so. And I go back to the Taoiseach's original comments last Sunday in the Times and the Times edition. What he said was people in an international protection system, he said people understand the homeless crisis has been made worse by people in our international protection system. People in international protection hadn't actually been able to avail of homeless services, not counted in those numbers. It was a very flippant comment. And if you accept the fact that Simon Harris is a very strong communicator, I mean, he was asked about homelessness, he pointed to one particular cohort. Now, that was changed the next day to say people coming out of direct provision. Now, I went and had a look at the quarterly figures from April up until June. The people coming out of direct provision into homeless accommodation accounted for about 12.2% of that entire figure. Above that was relationship breakdown. It was people being evicted from private rental accommodation, and then a number of other factors. But the point there in the current environment seemed like a tactic. I felt it was below the office and it needed to be challenged. We then led ourselves into a scenario where the next day, I believe it was Dara O'Brien, trying to back up his government colleague, said something along the lines of, well, we can't take away from the fact that 46% of people of those numbers are non-Irish. Now, Claire, come on, if you think about those numbers...
46% of people who are registered as homeless, he said,
are non-Irish.
Okay.
So go into those figures. What you'll have there is people from the Europe who are here for a very whatever reason. You'll have people who came here on work visas who can't afford the rent. You'll have people who came here on student visas who might have been pushed out for the exact same reason. And the idea that we're now trying to justify the Taoiseach's comments by categorising people as Irish or non-Irish, as if immigration hasn't been a lever for ourselves for many as a decade.
But do you accept, as Harry said, it is one of the factors, it's one of the reasons why we have pressure on accommodation and on housing?
No, I don't accept that was in terms of the factor, of course, but that's what the price of paying, living in. Is there any other Western society in the world that is anyway dissimilar? Do we not have immigrant people leaving our shores for a multitude of different reasons? It also absolves himself of the blame when it comes to not building reception centres. I mean, the Catherine Day report that was updated in recognition of the crisis that we've had over the last 2 years were very clear in calling for those reception centres. Government didn't build them before the locals didn't build them before the generals. That's a political decision. It was 12.2% of the overall figure, and that's what he pointed to. That's okay. A tactic.
Pippa Hackett, what do you think is going on here?
Look, I suppose firstly, I agree that some of the comments were a little bit, you know, inflammatory and concerning in one regard. But I do agree with the Taoiseach that, you know, he did say that we shouldn't blame vulnerable people for the housing crisis, and we shouldn't. Clearly, our you know, migration to Ireland is growing. We can see the figures. There's also a cohort, actually, that don't get listed in relation to Irish people returning to Ireland over the past number of years. You know, tens of thousands of Irish people have returned to Ireland because we have a strong economy. We have a labour shortage. So there are jobs here for people. And in fact, you know, and we hear this all the time, and it's right to say it again, that, you know, most migrants here are filling the jobs of essential workers. They could be doctors, they could be nurses, they could be bus drivers, they could be farm workers. They cover a whole cohort and support our economy to keep going at this heightened, you know, time of a really strong economy that we have.
He's not talking about people coming back here or people coming to work here. I mean, do you take that from his comments? There's no doubt that there is a link, he said, between the migration challenge we face and the homeless challenge.
The ones that are coming to work, that's a cohort. But I mean, if you break it down and look at the international protection applicants, they don't get housing. They don't get accommodated in housing. They don't figure, you know, factor on the homeless figures unless they've come all the way through and actually they have the right to stay here and maybe come out the other side. And there's no obligation for them to enter the housing system.
What point do you think Simon Harris is making then?
I think there are clearly pressures on housing. We all know that. And I think trying to break it down into blaming one cohort over another is unfair. Ultimately, the solution here is to deliver on homes, to build more houses. We are building more each year. We're putting more available to people to buy, to rent, to affordably buy, to affordably rent. That is happening. Mm-hmm. It just has to happen
but
far
But singling
quicker.
Out one cause, that's the issue that Gary has here. Sarah, you want to come in? Go ahead.
Yeah, like this has actually been a play that has been seen across the Dáil actually this week as well. And, you know, I know that everyone keeps mentioning it, but you can't help but feel with the general election that everyone is just trying to get the vast majority on side, and the vast majority being, you know, the Irish electorate who can vote here. Like Piers Doherty was staying in the Dáil on Wednesday, I believe, that the supports payment for housing Ukrainians, that basically people were kind of taking advantage of that, and that was locking
this is the 800 euro accommodating a Ukrainian. Yeah.
He was kind of saying that is more for, like, that is more than, say, people in regional areas could charge for rent. And he's saying, why wouldn't landlords avail of that tax-free 800 euro payment? And that's locking ordinary working people out of the housing market. And he's saying, well, you know, if a Ukrainian refugee is coming here and they're working and they're contributing to society, they should have the same treatment as Irish people, good working Irish people. And I just think,
and the government said in response that payment is under review, isn't it?
They said that payment is under review. Now, the amount of people who have been claiming that payment, Piers Doherty said it was going up by about 1,000 people per month. That's not true. It is going up by about 600 on average per month. But, you know, like in a similar vein, it's kind of like they are fleeing war, they are fleeing persecution, you know,
and,
like.
And the hypocrisy of Sinn Féin, who are putting out statements arguing against the privatisation of OIPAS accommodations, for example. And then going into the Dáil and making statements without the accurate facts in relation to people who are not in private accommodation, without offering any solution.
I suppose in general terms across the board, what you hear is a call for fairness. You know, that everybody is entitled to the same accommodation and everybody has a fair shot.
I think one of the things that the government has to do, or the authorities have to do, is they have to look at the situation facing those who've come from Ukraine in medium to long term. So at some stage, the supports, if they are staying here and if they are working and if they do plan to stay in Ireland over a long period of time, those supports will have to be tapered off. But the reason that the 800 euro per month was allowed was you had Ukrainians staying in hotels and B&B at an outrageous cost to the state. Mm-hmm. So this was a kind of almost like a step down facility to accommodate those Ukrainian refugees who are here with status and are allowed to work and allowed to have a PPS number and everything. But it is allowed to them to move on from that accommodation into the next stages of their life. What the government or whatever government is in will have to do is to work out a long-term strategy where those supports can be tapered off and those people
Because if you change that payment, where do people go? You know,
if
the householders decide,
it's
not worth it now for me to have this person in my house, and they decide not to continue that arrangement, you've got another problem on your hands.
And it's different as well. I mean, as you say, it's a householder's, you know, with a room in their house, and they were willing to you know, to allow that to be used and to home a Ukrainian couple, family, you name it, if they've the space. It's not quite the same as availability. You know, those people may well never rent a room. They did it out of the goodness of their hearts initially. You know, there was the call. Mm-hmm. Who will take in? This was a crisis situation. It still is, really. But it was the largest displacement since World War II of people. So we keep forgetting
Roger
that now.
Roger Gorman, who said to Pearce in the Dáil this week that it is under review. Do you think it should change?
I think it's always good to review these things. You always have to see the maybe unintended consequences if they do exist, evaluate if they do, and see how we can improve it. I think we continually do that.
Direct provision as well. They do have to constantly review these, because if you get into a situation where this particular system goes on and on and on for years, people would become institutionalised and would become reluctant to move and would become fearful of moving. And we've seen that with direct provision. People have been there for many years. So I think that you really have to keep on tapering and offering alternatives and looking at long-term strategies rather than the sticking plaster solutions that the government has been coming up with over the past couple of years.
And that's absolutely fine, and I don't disagree with any of that. But we are heading into a general election, and those of us who are knocking at doors, or even what the Primetime Investigates report captured last week, there is an intensity within all over Ireland, not particular communities, everywhere. And there's a hostility there. And when flameful rhetoric is being used by political leaders like this, it doesn't make anybody's jobs easier. It doesn't address any problems. It is a tactic. It needs to be cut out, which is why we were so vociferous in calling it out. We've had to deal with a lot of, what I call for is anti-racism work in terms of building communities. This makes our job harder. That's a tactic. It hasn't impacted Fine Gael's voters, which is why, and I'm making an assumption here, which is why Simon Harris was so flippant in these comments last week. And again, who was Leo Varadkar actually talking to today? Who was his audience for that? Like, who was asking the question? Like, I don't mean in a literal sense, but when that goes onto the front of the Irish Times, what's it designed to achieve?
Sarah?
I think that it's irrefutable that there has been a slight shift, like just a dial has slightly been turned in terms of how immigration is being discussed at a wider political level. Claire, you had the Minister for Higher Education, Patrick O'Donovan, in these studios, and he said he basically was it was printed in the Irish Times that he basically kind of agreed with Roderick O'Gorman that an asylum seeker accommodation group was not to be moved to an area in his constituency. And he was saying that, you know, it's to do with facilities in the area and there's not enough amenities for them there and they'd basically just be, you know, stranded. And, you know,
I think what it was the Department of Integration wanted to use a former nursing home for asylum seeker accommodation. And it was reported that Patrick O'Donovan had objected to that. Now, he wasn't clear when he was in here in the studio what form that objection took, but it's clear it's not going ahead now.
Yeah, but like, you know, It's just like I just feel there has definitely been a tonal shift in terms of politicians are kind of trying to distance themselves from this rhetoric that, you know, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael had been so proud of, which is, you know, we are welcoming people in, we are accommodating people in, we will not have this kind of, you know, animosity there towards people seeking asylum in Ireland. And now I feel like, if that's not being reflected in their constituencies, well, then they're reviewing their tone to that.
Yeah, and his argument was there just weren't facilities in that area for them. But Pippa, is that how it works now? That you have Roderick O'Gorman trying to do this and then you have people like Patrick O'Donovan saying, you can't do that in my area and it doesn't
happen? Well, TDs, whether they're ministers or otherwise, will always trying, you know, they will go to their public meetings, they'll hear what the locals have to say and they will, you know, iterate that to the relevant minister. And I think this is essentially what has happened here. And I think because it's minister to minister, it's been maybe blown out of proportions a little bit. But I think there's correct, you know, analysis in terms of services, GPs and all of that. But all of that predates this crisis. Those problems were always there. I think there's a cohort.
But what
that
does it tell you about how the government is going to respond? If you can have one minister saying to another minister, no, sorry, that's not going to come to my area. And it doesn't happen. It stops.
Well, listen, I don't know the ins and outs of it, if it has stopped or not.
But do you think that should happen?
I don't think it's a government minister to a government minister decision. This is a TD in his own area reflecting what his own constituents of concerns
but
and
he is
so
a
forth.
Minister.
He is, I agree, and he's entitled to do that as a public representative. I don't think, I think
but when
you look
at... policy is to build these centres that Catherine Day recommended
and
back in 2021.
And the strategy has been published this year. There are five sites that have been identified. We know already some of them, Crooksling, we've got River Lodge, we've got Cullen Barracks in Mullingar to come on street have been established already. Rapid modules have been built there. And we know that, Thornton Hall is to come on very soon with people to move there. So we have done what we said we would do. We've published the strategy. We've taken the pressure off B&Bs. We've taken the pressure off hotels. That is important. But this is, fundamentally, there are a number of issues at play here in relation to the migration, not only the turmoil in Europe. We've got the whole climate change piece. We've got turmoil across the world. This is something we, as a member state of the European Union, are going to have to deal with. But we do need to have something that is sustainable, that does deliver for people coming here, and that delivers for our state.
All right, listen, we'll move on, because I want to talk about what we heard an awful lot about this week, and this is budget overrun. So we heard about the security hut at Leinster House, 1.4 million. Of course, the bike shed we knew about, 336,000. And the Children's Hospital plays into this as well. And Sarah, what seems to be grating on people with this one is what appears to be a disregard for taxpayers' money and the lack of accountability then when we find out about the numbers.
Yeah, like any time, you know, so the OPW and the board of the National Children's Hospital, the board who are overseeing its construction, they were both before Oireachtas committees this week. And, you know, obviously the matter was debated at length in the Dáil during leaders' questions during various points of business. And the ministers were very much kind of saying, listen, that's nothing to do with us. Like, what are we expected to be over the details? That's not how this works. And then, in fairness, the people who were before the committees really kind of, the TDs and senators on those committees really got into the details. But yeah, it seems to be just kind of like an abdication of responsibility. One person, it emerged, signed off on the OPW, on the bike shed at Leinster House. All it took was one person to sign off €336,000 of taxpayer money. It's absolutely insane. And yeah, I think it is just that kind of, it's nearly like, I don't know, when you look at that and then you look at the budget that is being proposed, this massive giveaway budget, one for everyone in the audience, it just reads poorly. It leaves like a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. The whole thing just seems a bit out of touch. What is happening in government buildings and what we are spending money on and how we are spending money. And then looking at, you know, this being advertised as we are going to make your life better. It's nearly like, it feels like people are being paid off with their own money. The public are being paid off with their own money for, you know, because if the government can spend €336,000 on a bike shed, well, then why wouldn't they, you know, increase the pension to 12 or €15 or whatever?
Harry, when we talked to John McGuinness yesterday on the programme about the security hut, we just got a flood of messages in from people who are in their own battles with the state, whether it's for the carer's allowance or respite or whatever it might be. And I see in the Irish Times is a whole section with, you know, so many letters from people who were really, really annoyed at this.
Absolutely, yeah.
It really gets to people, doesn't it?
Yeah, every WhatsApp group I'm in with friends and stuff has just been loaded with kind of memes and references to this. Nothing angers the public more than examples like this of a wanton waste of public money. I actually used a bicycle shelter yesterday myself.
Did you?
When the rain was falling horizontally in Dublin, and I luxuriated in its surroundings. And it was well used yesterday. All 18 bicycle burns were used.
It's not luxurious though, is it? Or is it?
It's beautiful.
But you got wet when you went from it
but I walked from it to the building and I got soaked. It's beautifully finished. And
is
I mean,
it?
The reason why it costs €335 is they put the best of materials into it. But if you go to the White House, for example, I was thinking, I was in the White House in March for the Shamrock ceremony, and it's a beautiful building, but the security hut at the front is kind of like a prefab, you know, so you don't have you don't have that kind of finish. So I just think that it's people spending other people's money and not having any regard for value for money. And we saw it with the security hut, but mostly we have seen it with the National Children's Hospital, which is a scandal. I mean, €2.2 billion and counting. And then they're talking about it not being finished now until 2026. If we go back to 2017, 2018, when Leo Varadkar was Minister for Health, he said it would be finished by 2020.
unless a meteorite hits the Earth.
Yeah.
And it was going to be 700 million back then. Then it went to 1.9 and now it's 2.2. I think it's going to be the most expensive hospital in the world. I could be wrong on that, but I've heard that being quoted. One of the officers from the board, from the National Paediatric Hospital Board, who was in during the week, said it will be a world-class hospital. It'll have to be at that kind of money. And they were talking about some of the details. Portuguese granite being used for the facade and then manufactured in Turkey. And I just think that there's somewhere along the line, somebody lost the run of themselves. And I know that there have been problems with the contractors, and I know that there have been problems with BAM and all of that. But nobody cries stop to any of this.
Yeah. I heard someone saying that the interior was going to be like a Dubai shopping centre during the week. Who wants that?
Hospital. It's not a five-star hotel. Facilities... The facilities to care for the children have to be world class. Of course they do.
Yeah.
But it's all the other things that they've added on, and it's all of the cost and the time. Every big project in Ireland takes a decade or more.
Yeah, and I know Harry was saying that he used the bike shift for some this week. I've nearly been afraid to use my bike this week. Such is the level of vitriol that aimed at politicians when something like this becomes a focal point of waste.
Well, this is the thing, and good luck to all of you, government or not, facing the electorate, because this is the first thing that will be said to anyone who wants to be a TD.
On all of our houses. Yeah. But like, also have to step away. There are actually, like, I know I'm a politician, so you'll have to forgive me, but I do think there is politics involved in this. I mean, we have a minister with responsibility for the OPW. Like, I haven't seen him all week. And when we did have a reformed, we have a minister with responsibility for public expenditure and reform, which was a new department that was constructed, in my eyes, for something exactly like this. But the whole rhetoric of this week has been no minister was harmed in the making of this bike shit. And then when it all comes to something like the National Children's Hospital and the overruns there, I mean, I can't step away from the fact that I don't have a time machine. So you might rightly say to me, well, what would the Social Democrats do at this particular point? But do we also let Simon Harris off the hook for the contract that was developed in 2019, which was the second phase contract?
Stephen Donnelly hasn't, for sure, because he pointed to it very explicitly in his letter last week.
This is exactly, yeah. But then we also had the KPMG report this week, which was sitting on Stephen Donnelly's desk since April, which suggests that even if we had a magic wand and turn the corner tomorrow and we had a hospital, we have absolutely no transition plan in place. There's 237 staff to be hired. There's still 300 rooms that haven't been fitted out. There's no CEO in charge of transition. Mm-hmm. So even if it was open in 2026, which it won't be, I mean, the transition phase for that will take a lot longer to move the three children's hospital into a centralised hospital.
Pippa?
I think that the frustration and delays, particularly with the children's hospital, I mean, they're completely understandable. I mean, it simply isn't good enough. And I think people across government accept that. It's just not good enough. But I think the worst thing we could do from here is not to change something, do something differently, you know, to go back in and start, you know, contracting other big projects out. So I do agree with Minister Donnelly, who sought amends to public procurement law, that we essentially look back on you know, tender applicants on how they delivered on projects before.
People, to a certain extent, have lost faith in this government to be able to spend money in a responsible way on all of these infrastructure projects that we absolutely need to do to serve a growing population.
Well, listen, it's not across the board. I mean, I can point to an example of my own colleague, Minister Oisín Smith. He's delivered the broadband plan. It's rolling out as under budget, as required, you know, at the same pace that was projected. So, I mean, there are examples where projects are delivered. But they wash into insignificance when you have projects off the scale of the Children's Hospital and even the bike shelter and the you know, the security hut. They take up the it's so important that we fix them where we can. I mean, fair enough, the OPW now have reduced the level at which senior officials can sign off on now from 500,000 to 200. That's something that's changed this week.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not going to deliver for the bike shed, but in future it will deliver for other projects. And I think a review of that does need to take place. I mean, the Comptroller and Auditor General is there to keep an eye on public spending. There's going to be a role there, you know, that they'll be paying close attention to the OPW.
Has anyone been in the security hut? We were told.
Well, we walk by nearly every day.
Have you been in and underneath?
You're not
allowed.
So our offices, both myself and Pippa's office, are in Ag House, so we pass by it every day.
I mean, it is quite, you know, there's a rampy thing that comes up.
It's grand. The gate takes too long to open.
Now, listen, it must have taken about 10 or 12 months to build. We were all going in a different gate, so it took a good long while to build.
I know that the chair of the OPW said
there was a lot of, you know, it's complexities. Look, and I'm not a structural engineer. I don't know what's going on there. But still, it does, on the face of it, look.
But security security needs
excessive.
To be done right. And
exactly,
then to your point that, you know, there's Perspex outside the White House, those beautiful buildings in Leinster House, we need to reflect their beauty and we need to preserve the beauty of not by sticking on Perspex on the
you
outside.
You can't plonk a spaceship on the Leinster
That's
House
what
lawn.
I mean,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, there has to be some sensitivity, but not €336,000 worth of sensitivity. That's the point. And this is a tiny thing.
You don't think the security hut is a separate, different case?
I think it's a separate thing. I think it's probably a little bit too elaborately finished as well. The copper roof that looks like Donald Trump's barnet, for example.
Oh, it was a Mark McSherry special.
Yeah, is
you wanted to say that, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
He's right, though. It's a perfect description.
I think the Daily Star and the Daily Mirror, of course, as their want, went to town on it, and they had mock-ups of the roof on the top of his head, which was very funny. But, I mean, I think it was a little bit over the top. But it's for want of a nail that the war was lost. I mean, these things are... look, Sinn Féin unveiled a budget, an alternative budget yesterday, which is worth €12 billion. This is 336,000 and 1.4 million. These will damage the government more than any of the other big projects, with the exception of the NCH that it's involved with, because this is an example of spending that has gone out of control.
Yeah, do you think, though, that it's a problem for everybody, as Gary says, you know, afraid to go around on his bicycle now as an opposition TD?
Well, I mean, I think there are going to be problems. I mean, you're talking about reception centres. I mean, the government does have to build the reception centres, but each of those reception centres is going to be a problem because of the prevailing political atmosphere in some places.
The absence of work at the yard, though. I mean,
I know that, but I mean, when you just can't pick six locations randomly. They'll have to be very carefully chosen. There'll be planning. There'll be objections. They're going to take time.
Eventually, you have to just choose them, and it's been 2 years in the making.
Sure, they do. Mm-hmm. They do have to take. They have to grab the nettle by the stem, but they it's going to be difficult. For any political party that's in power.
Well, it'll be a job for the next government now, because we haven't been told in full where those locations are. I know, Pippa, you outlined a few of them. Just on Crooksling, I just see as we were chatting, the weather was so bad yesterday on the East Coast. There was a weather warning in place, and the people who were in the tents in Crooksling, all their stuff got absolutely soaked.
Horrendous.
They weren't offered any alternative accommodation. Their beds and their belongings were absolutely soaking wet. The tarpaulins are tipping in the water. Everything they have, the beds, the pillows, the duvets, this is according to one man who's living there, their clothing, their shoes, their bags, everything. And he's been there for a number of weeks. And, you know,
it's a state apology waiting to happen.
Well, we have the winter coming as well.
It's
so
horrendous.
You've got to wonder whether that situation
is
sustainable.
Fit for purpose at the moment needs to be absolutely remediated.
All right. Well, listen, we will leave it there. We're coming up to 12 o'clock. Thank you all for coming in, and thank you for listening.